Good afternoon, everybody. Some breaking news that we're following. Michigan State Police involved in an active shooter situation in Dearborn on Michigan Avenue at an old hotel there, and we will try to keep you updated on that. That originally came across around 2:30, and the last update we saw was that shots had been fired, and we're going to track that down for you. In the meantime, if you've watched the video, you know it is heart-wrenching. The death of a 20-year-old mentally disturbed man by the name of Porter Burks a couple of days ago. And when you watch this 7-minute clip, you can hear the concern in the voices of the officers. You can hear their frustration that they just don't seem to be getting anywhere with their efforts to de-escalate this thing. And in the end, even after offering to get him help, to give him a ride home, they just say, all you got to do is drop the knife. Well, then he rushed them with what was reported to be an 8-inch blade. They opened fire, and he died, an outcome that no one wanted. Now comes Attorney Jeffrey Feiger. He is entering the picture on behalf of Burks' family, and he is filing a lawsuit in what he claims was not a police incident, but an execution. WJR senior news analyst Lloyd Jackson monitoring that for us. Lloyd?
Good afternoon, Guy. The family of 20-year-old Porter Burks has retained attorney Jeffrey Feiger to represent them in a lawsuit against the Detroit Police Department after Burks was shot and killed by police during a mental health check last weekend. Five officers fired a total of 38 shots at Burks, who suffered from paranoid schizophrenia, killing him. Police say around 15 bullets hit Burks. Now, Feiger says he's having an autopsy done today by renowned pathologist Werner Spitz to get the real number of bullets that hit Burks. This all happened early Sunday morning after police say Burks, armed with a knife, charged at officers. Attorney Feiger says, why couldn't police find a better way of dealing with Burks than the way they handled this situation?
If Porter Burks was an animal, a vicious animal, a tiger, a lion, you know how to shoot him with tranquilizing gun. Why would you shoot him with 38 bullets? Why would you treat him worse than a wild animal?
Feiger says he agrees with Chief White that there is a mental health crisis, but he says turning mentally ill over to police and prisons is not the answer.
There is a mental health crisis. It began about 25, 30 years ago when the state of Michigan closed all the mental health facilities and touted it and said we were going to just pass out medications to paranoid schizophrenics and we'll get them off the street and we'll, in effect, leave this to the police and the prisons. And that is what happens in this state. The only long-term care that mentally ill people get is prison. That's the long-term care we offer in this state.
Chief James White released body cam footage of the incident during a press conference Tuesday out of an abundance, he says, of transparency. Feiger says the purpose of the chief's briefing was to provide propaganda and cover for what really happened. Now, Feiger says he will file this lawsuit next week once Burks' mother is appointed as the personal representative of the estate. Feiger says he will allege in his suit negligence against the five police officers, violation of the state Civil Rights Act, violations of the state constitution, and possibly, Guy, he says, a federal civil rights complaint.
No shortage of options that we've seen Jeffrey Feiger use in cases like this. Lloyd, we thank you so much.
Thank you, Guy.
Want to turn and get the other perspective on this from Steve Dolan, the retired assistant chief with the Detroit Police Department. A lot of hyperbole in that. Steve, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Guy.
It has become a very familiar dance in cases like this with plaintiffs' attorneys where they characterize these incidents as firing squads and ask the question, as Feiger did, how could you treat him worse than an animal? 38 shots, focusing on the number of rounds fired. Can you help us fill in this from an objective standpoint in terms of how and why officers are trained to respond that way?
Okay. Well, first of all, it's not an execution. His job is to be make bombastic statements and try to, you know, get the sympathy. And don't get me wrong, this family deserves sympathy.
Sure.
Totally get it. He wasn't treated like a wild animal. So for him to say that is ludicrous. It's not like they found him on the street. They were dispatched to the run. The family called and said this individual has a knife and he had slashed some tires. So I talked to someone yesterday and they said, how could they do this and shoot him? I said, well, they could have stood there and not fired any shots. And then he could have done harm to himself, taken his own life, or taken someone else's life, and the officers would have been vilified for not taking any action. Okay. And then I've got people saying you would never call the police, or Detroit police, for that. Okay. Well, that's easy to say that, but how many of those people saying that?
Well,
never walked the walk.
Well, yeah, and Steve, let's be clear here. He had previously, and again, he is a mentally disturbed individual, and there should be compassion and empathy exercised here. He had stabbed his stepsister. He had attacked and stabbed two other family members. Jeffrey Figer is saying, well, don't call 911 or the Detroit police. You've had three family members victimized and perhaps critically injured by this young man. Who the hell are you going to call?
Well, and I get that. The police are going to, I mean, the family's going to call the police. Totally get it. Chief White does have mental health experts doing ride-alongs with, you know, with the police. Maybe they weren't available at that time. I was telling someone, so you as a police officer saying, drop the knife, drop the knife, drop the knife. Me, who's mentally unstable, all I see in my mind is a demon. And I'm not, what you're saying isn't registering with me.
Mm-hmm.
People have said, well, they have a bulletproof vest. Well, a bulletproof vest is designed to stop a blunt a missile, basically, projectile that hits you and traps it. A knife cuts right through a bulletproof vest.
Yeah.
So you and I are partners, and I decide to fire and you don't. Okay. There goes your career. And what if I get hurt and you never fire? And you have five people firing. What's scary is he's saying the 38 shots, less than half took effect, right? If I'm not mistaken, 15, they're saying. Then he's saying they cuffed him and dumped him at the hospital. Let me see the video. But the officers, because it sounds like, according to him, the officers took him to the hospital. Is that correct? Or did EMS take it? Do you know?
It's unclear, and I'm not certain here. But here's the other thing. You know, they say these things, well, 38 shots, as if in that split second of a moment, they are supposed to say to one another among the five officers there, well, are we taking terms? Or Tom, you fire the first shot, I'll fire the next one. And if he isn't down, well, then Harry and Dick, you get the rest. It's ludicrous to suggest that somehow you're going to coordinate in a split second moment when someone rushes you.
The whole thing took 3 seconds, is my understanding. And again, people say, well, the police officer trained. Yeah, they're trained in front of a paper target. That's no threat.
Yeah.
And they're taught to shoot center mass. Okay. Maybe it goes to the next level where they go to simunitions, where they have to figure out if you have a knife, a gun, or a cell phone. Okay, still, you're not an immediate threat. Now your life flashes, and it does. You've been there, done that. Your whole life flashes in front of you. What if I have a wife, my husband, my kids? What's going to happen to me? What if I take this person's life? It all flashes really quick, and it's easy to second guess everybody. But until you've walked the walk,
mm-hmm.
I mean, walked the walk. When's the last time Jeffrey Figer was in the hood and felt that he or his family was in imminent danger, and he wouldn't call the police? Who would he call? One of his fellow attorneys? Come on.
Well, and here's the other thing. We know there's a legion of second guessers out there that will say, sure. Well, there were non-lethal options. So these officers are equipped with tasers. When you have someone that is going to be closing quickly on you, is a taser or non-lethal force the viable option?
It's the force continuum and starts with presence, verbal instructions, he was given that, and sometimes it escalates right beyond soft hands, hard hands, non-lethal, lethal. It's a fact that if you're within many studies, if you are armed with a knife and within 20 feet of me, you'll get to me, the average person, before I can withdraw my weapon and discharge it. Within 20 feet. That's first thing. And if I tase you and you're in this psychotic situation,
right.
Will it take any effect? Will it?
And are you willing to bet your life on that?
Everyone says, what's a life worth? Well,
yeah.
My life, to me, I'll take the chance. And I want to know who fired, how many, where they took a, you know. He's making it sound like, was he still alive when they went to the hospital?
They said he died at the hospital, that he expired at the hospital.
Okay. So but 15 rounds, how many was center mass?
This was a 7-minute episode. And for 6 minutes, 55 seconds, they pleaded with him. They de-escalated. Yeah. They were gentle. Yeah. It ran the spectrum. No one got the outcome they wanted. But compare how that incident, Steve, would have looked and sounded a year ago, 10 years ago, oh, 5
absolutely.
Years ago.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's, you're right. For all those minutes, nothing happened. They had done nothing, and he'd taken his own life. They just sued for that. It's tragic, the outcome. And what people, including Mr. Flagg, don't understand is to take someone's life, it's not an easy choice. It's not. It's not a choice you want to have to make. And these officers made that choice, and they got to live with the fact it took someone's life.
Yeah.
And it's a total tragedy, but...
Someone who is a victim of mental illness, which is going to weigh heavily on them. Mm-hmm. But again,
oh, yeah.
it's following training and also backing up your fellow officers.
Yeah. Steve, but 5 years, right. We have a mental health crisis. It's huge.
Well, and we are going to talk about that because we have fewer beds than we had just a couple of months ago for people like Porter Burke. So we're going to get
more millions being spent on everything else. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm interrupting you. Okay.
No, Steve.
You got to go.
I appreciate your insights.
I'm venting.
And no, I know. We love you, brother, and we appreciate you in times like these.
Okay, man.
Take care. Steve Dolan, retired assistant chief. When we come back, yes, there are fewer beds for people like him. And our mental health system is an unholy mess. We're going to get to the bottom of that next on The Guy Gordon Show.